Hello everyone, welcome to Fathom FinTech, and I'm your host Jeet Patti, the founder and CEO of Fathom Foresight. And today we are going to talk about the future of community banking. And to discuss this topic with me, I have the co-founder and CEO of Vovio with us today, Jonah Chininga. Jonah's platform called Vovio is actually a community banking platform that is based out of Calgary, and they're working across Canada now. So without any wait, let's get into it.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time. I actually met Jonah at an event at Rotman School of Business a few weeks ago, and really amazed by the passion that Jonah brings into his organization. And the way he has structured and the journey he has had, the way he talks about it, it's hard to forget. So Jonah is definitely one of those personalities with great charisma, but passion for what he does. And I'm really glad, Jonah, you could make time to join us today and share some of your journey and about your company.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Jeet. I'm super excited to have this conversation and share more about the story behind the work that we do.
Amazing. So before we get into kind of what the company does, let's talk a little bit about your journey. You're an immigrant, moved to Canada 2 years ago, I believe. I know we had that conversation. I'm forgetting how many years now. How has kind of founding Vovio and that journey overall has been for you?
Yeah, no, it's been a very interesting experience. So a little bit about myself. I was born in Zambia in a small village called Mbala and raised in Zimbabwe because my mom was Zambian, my dad was Zimbabwean, grew up in a family of 11. And then back in 2014, I moved to Canada as an international student, really to be able to do my post-secondary education. And number one reason why I chose Canada as kind of like my top destination was just the ease of immigration, and then the opportunity to be able to become part of the community here was really appealing to me. Yeah, so moved here. I think in most parts, the settlement journey was great because compared to other countries, it's not as good as that. But one challenge that I found was integrating into our credit system because one, it was a different financial ecosystem, but then also two, it was just kind of like the cost and access of credit, which was really a tough experience. So wanted to be able to learn about alternative ways we can be able to bridge to that. So that's part of like why we started the company and the work that we do, but happy to jump on that later on.
I can relate to so many parts of your story, being an immigrant myself and coming and finding or rather exploring the life here, and financial aspects of it are huge. Getting your first banking bank account, and then your first credit card, the student credit card that you usually get, 1,000 limit usually that's provided to you at that point. But then journey from there is upward, but not as easily discoverable, I guess, at least a few years ago when you and me came to the country. But I guess now it's becoming easier. Specifically in last 1 year, we have seen most big six banks in Canada announce certain partnerships that are specifically focused or are with the platforms that are focused on immigrants and helping them settle well here. Actually, all of the big six have announced at least one partnership in the past 1 year with a platform like that. So that's kind of a huge focus, I guess. And in a big way, we were just talking about Simplii Financial and the partnership that they've done with a huge iconic singer from India, and the kind of investment that banks are now putting into it shows the sheer growth of the immigrant population in Canada and as a target market for the banks and for the fintechs. So let's talk about Vovio. What aspect of the financial journey are you focusing on, and how do you approach the immigrants? I think that's also a big point, because when you come to the country, you're not well integrated into different digital aspects of where people can find about your organization. So how are you approaching that? Let's see about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for us, it was mainly focusing on the existing financial behaviors of newcomers. I think that's kind of like one place that we based our product on. So for me, for example, as one of the founders, I'm from Zimbabwe, and really back there, community-based financing is really big. It's a massive way to be able to access credit and build wealth, just because of the communal values that we have, as a people and as a nation. And then coming here, you do have like I think it's an intersection between an individual-based system, and then you also have like a community-based system with the credit unions, and then like there's a gap in between. So for us, studying Worldview was we noticed that a lot of immigrants were using kind of like those informal community banking practices without engaging the mainstream financial ecosystem because there wasn't any existing infrastructure. So looking at those things, we tried to understand why were they doing those practices instead of like tapping into the mainstream financial ecosystem. And some of the insights that we learned was, one, this was a system that worked really well for them. But then two, from a pain point perspective, the cost of credit was really high, right? In Canada, we have a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck because the cost of credit is taking a lot away from the disposable income that these individuals get have. And for most newcomers, they come into the country, you start off as a low income. When you're building out your career, you're trying to be able to get your certification, build those networks as you climb up that career ladder. And during that phase, most newcomers are mispriced from a credit and banking perspective, right? One thing is kind of like having no credit is worse than having bad credit because you don't exist into the system. And if it's going to take up to 5 years for you to be able to build a solid credit history, those are 5 years that you could be losing a lot of money to the banking ecosystem just because of fees and interest that are charged on top of that. But then secondly, the second thing that we saw was as newcomers are coming into the country, they're also establishing their own communities, right? Individuals come here, they establish their own communities. And then with the change in demographics, you're having existing communities that are interested in having their own financial infrastructure. So even if you look at the history of how credit unions were started in Canada, it was mainly immigrant communities coming to Canada and starting their own financial ecosystem through the way of credit unions. So for us, starting Worldview, our whole vision was how can we transform community banks into community wallets by leveraging technology and reimagining the cost structure of a credit union. That's kind of like the basis and the thesis that we had. Because
Wow, I love the community banks to community wallets concept. It really sticks to you, I guess, when you a great pitch, I guess, line for you as well, when you were to remember Vovio by. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Oh yeah, so because one thing that we realized is I think one of the most inspirational stories that I had moving to Canada was the story of Alfonso Desjardins, who started the first credit union in Canada back in the 1900s. And the whole story behind it is as the French community was immigrating to Canada to Quebec, right? They were underserved by the mainstream financial ecosystem, and they started the Desjardins Credit Union in 1900. And this is a financial cooperative whereby they enabled their own communities to be able to pool their savings and leverage those savings as credit facilities. So it was how can you be able to take an infrastructure like that, a system like that, but use technology to be able to reduce the burden, the cost burden that exists with a brick and mortar institution, and leverage a community wallet whereby people can be able to come together and leverage their own savings as credit facilities. And then the biggest value proposition that we're providing to these members was really community-based financing provides access to the lowest and cheapest form of capital from anything else, period, right? Because it's community-based, it's very cheap and affordable as compared to like you getting charged 25%, you're probably getting this interest-free or low cost just based on the system that you're using. So it was how can we build the trust infrastructure under that to enable more communities to be able to do that and create their own communities through a community wallet and rotate their savings as a way to access affordable credit. So that was kind of like the thesis on why we started Worldview as an on-ramp to the mainstream financial ecosystem.
That's really amazing. And you're saying you help build the credit, so I'm assuming the payments that are made on the pooled loans, those are reported to the credit bureaus.
So now what we have done on top of like the savings groups is one, the ability for them to be able to build credit. So this is a credit transaction in a way because you have communities pulling capital, one person accessing the lump sum. So there's a credit transaction. So for us, it was how do we partner with credit bureaus? One, to educate newcomers on how credit scores work in Canada, but then also at the same time enable them to be able to build credit with a system that works for them, right? So now they're able to build credit, now they're able to access low-cost credit from their communities, and then now we're lettering things such as cash advances to be able to help them in terms of emergencies. Because I think one insight that we're seeing is the repayment rate in community-based financing is higher than a traditional credit product, just because of the affinity and the connection that you have to the source of capital. There's a face behind the loan, so you tend to prioritize that. And then one of the theories that we use is kind of like the payment obligations hierarchy for mainly low income, low credit score individuals. They're living paycheck to paycheck, and then everything to them is based on priority. Like, how do I prioritize my basic needs, which is housing or car loan, because I need to be able to go back and forth to work. But then when it comes to installment loans, it's just really based on priority, or like which loan do I care about in terms of like the impact from a credit score perspective, in terms of like the impact also in terms of what that loan means to me. And then what we're seeing is kind of like Worvio and those community-based financing products becoming higher and climbing up higher the payment obligations hierarchy, incentivizing higher repayment rates, and then also lowering the cost of borrowing over the long haul.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And how long has it been? Because I know you've had a good run with some of the pilot projects. And obviously, you're seeing success. You've raised money. Congratulations on that as well. So what's kind of where are you in the journey of your launch and overall like your product?
Yeah, no. So we've been doing this for 3 years. One thing you'll also find is kind of like, implementing a new system can take time, just from like going from regulations to banking partnerships to a product. That can be a learning experience on its own. But right now for us, we're working with 120 communities across Canada. And there's 120 communities. Yeah, it's enabling them to be able to help their members. So for us, in terms of our business model and our distribution, for us, our distribution channel is business to community, right? So you always find like there's business to business, there's business to consumer, but then for us, it's business to community. We enable communities to be able to leverage their own forms of capital that they have to be able to access credit. So what is a community? A community could be as simple as a cooperative. So most immigrant communities have cooperatives. So some of the cooperatives that they have is around small business owners, whereby they can't get credit from the banks. So they're leveraging systems as a way to be able to get their initial capital to start a business. A cooperative could be like restaurant owners would typically buy goods and services from their home countries that they sell here, but they need to be able to benefit from that economies of scale if they buy it in bulk. So you're seeing kind of like people pulling savings together for such use cases. And then for us, kind of like, how can we enable them to be able to build credit, access credit, and then kind of like get them into the formal financial ecosystem through that pathway?
Right. Oh, and so I'm assuming kind of you are focusing on the cities which are getting the most immigrant population right now in that sense, right? And there's a big amount of small business owners in those communities.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I think some of our huge base are in Scarborough, because we have kind of like that huge immigrant population. And then typically, most of our users, because we're doing this research and data, it's kind of like people who are immigrant, and then they're also self-employed. So they kind of like have like, they don't have a fixed income. So getting credit from the bank could be hard. Like, so yeah, you're an Uber driver, or you're a small business owner, you have different forms of income, but then it's not streamlined, it's not fixed, it's not guaranteed. So sometimes the bank have a harder time extending credit to you. So we always see that like these people creating those communities around those bases. And then I think the big thing is kind of like, how can we now enable them not only to be able to build credit history, but then to actually lower their cost of borrowing? Because traditionally, if that individual was not borrowing within a community-based financing approach, on average, they'll be paying 25 to 47% interest fees on any installment loan that they needed to get.
Right.
So it's kind of like, how can you be able to lower the cost of capital, but then how also can you be able to build trust within those existing communities to actually leverage the ecosystem?
Right. And what kind of amounts are we talking about, the loans that are being offered here?
Yeah, no, so the loans on our platform are sub 10K, so under $10,000. You kind of like see kind of like it's micro credit.
But still pretty good. I mean, like still bigger than some of the cash advance products that exist in the country. So, or the payday loans and things like that. So that's actually pretty impressive.
Exactly. Yeah. No, because also one thing that you see is kind of like is that first initial lump sum. I always use an example to like the experience that we enable the community-based financial ecosystem to have is the same experience that a lot of Canadians have with the tax system, right? Every year in Q1, you file your taxes. That's the only time, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck, that's the only
Right.
time access to a lump sum. And then that lump sum you used to be able to pay off your high interest debt or to be able to do something through the capital that you get. But then through community-based financing, you get multiple turns where you get access to a lump sum that you wouldn't be able to achieve otherwise and use that to be able to pay off debt or to be able to do something that you couldn't afford by doing yourself. So
Right. So kind of also removing the cash flow gaps, I guess, in a way, or as you said, emergency funds as and when the individuals per se could need. So that's very I guess interesting, but obviously useful to the immigrants. And I really hope we can take your platform and kind of market it to the immigrant community, because there are so many people who could benefit from this. Specifically, the ones who are living paycheck, and the way I'm sure the platform, I know you, I've seen certain aspects of the customer experience. It's pretty seamless. So anybody could, I guess, join based on the community they want to be part of, right? And from that, they start pooling in money, and as and when they need money, they can take a loan.
exactly. Yeah, they can access it. So I think the best example I always give, just for reference, is kind of like our platform is kind of like Slack, the same way Slack is for communication, where you have a company, the employees. We did the same
Right.
communities around financing. So you create a community on the platform, you invite your members, and you guys start pulling savings. They are pre-scheduled payouts, so you know when you're going to get your payout and what how much your contributions are. So you're able to access that lump sum just based on your financial goals and your financial plan that you have. And then all the transactions are interest-free, so members are able to access that credit interest-free through those groups. And then for us, it was kind of like how, because right now we have like a different services. So we have like the group savings, the rotating group savings, whereby members pool capital and then rotate it among themselves as a way to access a lump sum. We have free credit score monitoring. They can be able to monitor their credit score, and then we can also have like credit building and cash advances that we are lettering on top. And then all that is kind of like streamlining to our vision that we have, kind of like how can we go from like cooperative savings, cooperative credit, and cooperative investing, and then build an infrastructure around the cooperative financing ecosystem through a community wallet so that any community, it doesn't need to be local. So if one thing from existing credit union is a credit union is locally based, right? You're in Calgary, you have a service credit union, and that can be able to service that area. But in a digital world, communities are distributed, communities are online, and communities are affinity-based. So how we define communities actually changed, right? I can have a community members who are in Toronto. I can have community members who are in Vancouver whilst I'm in Calgary. But can we also be able to leverage that existing infrastructure by doing that same thing by leveraging technology? So that's how we see a community wallet enable that to happen, because a community could be anywhere, and then a community could be affinity-based, and then you're only enabling people to be able to leverage those savings as affordable credit facilities.
Right, so they don't have to be all at a single location to be part of that community.
Exactly.
That's really great. And you are working with credit unions at this point, I guess. Obviously, to operate in the financial system, you need a supporting FI at the back end. So you're working with banks and credit unions at this point?
Yeah, no, right now we're working with the banking as a service. So banks that provide banking as a service, because one of the features that we offer on our product is virtual wallets and deposits. So banks can only handle that, we can't. And also working with credit unions, because one piece is we don't want to be like other fintechs within the ecosystem where we're just helping people build credit without the access to the credit that they actually need. So a big part about our business is leveraging the alternative data, right? Alternative data in terms of the credit behaviors and the financial behaviors that are happening within these communities. And then now through partnerships with credit unions, can we be able to share that data as a way that enables them to be able to have more information that they can use in terms of underwriting, in terms of like credit decisions, just to be able to provide extra capital that these people can achieve within their community. Like it's based on 10K, but now probably I want a car loan. Can you be able
Right.
to send them into the system, and then can I provide that alternative data as an on-ramp to the system? They need a mortgage. So there's financial history behind those individuals. And then also because of the higher repayment rate, most of it tends to be very positive because it just nurtured those good borrowing behaviors, which can be a win-win situation for both parties involved.
Right. Wow. I'm having a lot of aha moments as you're talking about vision, because I've seen certain business models, and specifically like globally, to who have grown this way and could be pretty huge. And I really hope and wish that same is the story for Vobio as well. But really capturing the immigrants at the right, I guess, use case, and then becoming sort of a one-stop financial shop for them is what I'm kind of hearing is your mission, which is huge. But the way you are working right now and the way you're describing the use of alternative data, I can totally see that happening. So I really want to wish you luck for that. And hopefully we'll have you soon along with your other founders. James was there at the Rotman event. It was so great to meet him. Great energy. But overall, as well, you have a five people team right now. The core team, I guess, is five people, right?
The code team has grown. So since our last round of 2.3 million, we've grown from 5 people, now we're at 12. And then yeah, that's kind of like where we are right now.
That's awesome and growing, I'm sure. So
Exactly.
that's wonderful. But with that, Jonah, I want to kind of wrap the conversation up with I want to give you an opportunity to have an ask from the ecosystem. We have a lot of banks, credit unions, other big names from the financial world in Canada and beyond who might be listening to this. So what do you need at this point to take Vovio to the next level and phase for your growth?
Yeah, no, my biggest ask is specific to credit unions. I see a strategic partnership and pathway for both credit unions and Vovio, in the sense that they're an existing ecosystem that provides a very competitive financial products, but those financial products are not marketed in a way that reaches the newcomer segment, right? If I came to Canada and you're like, oh, hey, credit unions provide this cheap form of capital that I could have been leveraged, that could have been a game changer. So the ask is to be able to partner. If there are credit unions listening to this, to be able to reach out, let's partner together. I think one thing about the credit union ecosystem, the average member is 53 years old. For us, the average member on our platform is 28 years old. So right, we are kind of like capturing that younger generation, that newcomer, that millennial who's coming to the platform, but then they're used to technology as a way to engage with community-based financing. So can we be able to provide kind of like their strengths is they have the capital. They have over 200 billion assets under management. So that's something that they can be able to provide to a new segment in terms of acquisition, in terms of member benefits, and then build a robust ecosystem so that the system can continue to thrive. So that will be the biggest ask, just to be able to partner with the credit unions that are listening to this.
Wow, that's amazing. And you will be growing. So if it's a younger sort of target base that you have, the customer base that you have, I'm sure as they grow in Canada, that's how will sort of reflect the growth of Vovio in the country as well.
Yeah.
So with that, Jonah, it was great having you, and wish you all the best for the year ahead, but also the journey forward overall for Vovio. Hopefully we'll have you soon again to share probably your next big funding round or the big partnership that you announce. But I'm pretty sure some big news will come from you this year. I can totally see it. So good luck for that, and we'll see you soon again.
Awesome. No, thanks, Jude, for having me. This was great.
Thank you.
So that was Jonah sharing some amazing insights from his journey of building Vovio and the impact they are creating across Canada. If you liked this conversation and you're more interested to learn about the fintech and financial innovation space, do reach out to us at fathomforesight.com. We are a knowledge as a service platform specifically focused on the fintech and financial innovation space. We can help you find fintech partners for different use cases, help you with your innovation strategy, and much more. So do reach out if you're interested in that, and see you next time in the next episode. Take care.